Robin.
You're the host of the APTA Pediatric Students and New Professionals Podcast.
We are super excited for you to hear from our guests today. We hope you enjoy this interview.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the SNAP Podcast. My name is Rachel Thompson, and I will be your host for today's episode. So today we have the honor of being joined by Hannah. Hannah has her board-certified clinical specialist in orthopedic physical therapy. She is joining us from Phoenix Children's Hospital, and we are so grateful for her to share all of her wonderful information about the world of sports, pediatric physical therapy. So thank you, Hannah, for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for the invite. I'm excited.
So we'll just start off with, how did you get to where you are now in your career?
So I'll kind of take you back. So I was a soccer player in undergrad. So I went to the University of South Florida, and then I went to Duke for PT school. So while I was there, Duke has really great clinical relationships. So I was able to do my last rotation at Cincinnati Children's Hospital. And then I applied to do their orthopedic residency at Cincinnati Children's. And then I stayed on there for about 5 years. And then in January of 22, I moved out to Phoenix, and here I am now.
That's awesome. How long have you been at Phoenix?
So I've been here for almost 2 years.
Okay. Wow. Awesome. Can you describe your typical day working in the outpatient sports setting?
Yeah. So typical day. So we work with mostly school age kids. So being that a lot of kids are in school and a lot of them play sports, we are very heavy in the afternoon hours. So their mornings are usually like if kids are homeschooled or if they're, you know, on vacation or it's summer, or a lot of evaluations we'll see in the morning. And then in the afternoon is when we're pretty treatment heavy. So we work pretty late too. So I work till 6:30 or 7:30 every night, just because we're catching those school age kids, you know, if they get out of school at 3 and they're coming to PT. So we want to make sure that we have availability for them, so they're not having to miss school or practice.
Right. What are the most common injuries you treat? And I guess I know you said the school age setting, but is there mainly high schoolers or middle schoolers, or is it just kind of variety?
It's a variety. So in our clinic, we treat kids from 8 to 18, but, you know, we'll see the outliers. You know, we'll get a couple 6-year-olds here and there, a couple kids in college. So it's not like hard and fast rules. Common injuries, you know, kind of seasonality changes a lot of things, you know, depending on what sports are in season. In Arizona, sports are in season all year round. So we see a lot of overuse injuries here, which was different from when I worked in Ohio, where we might not see quite as many overuse injuries. I also see a ton of ACL injuries or like post-op knees. So I have a pretty good relationship with our surgeons. So we see a lot of them in our clinic. And then just like general knee pain, kind of a little bit of everything. It just, like I said, depends on where we're at in the season.
Yeah, that makes sense. Why did you choose this setting at Phoenix Children's rather than maybe like a regular outpatient orthopedic setting?
I've always enjoyed working with kids. So growing up, I coached, I was an athlete, I was a camp counselor for a while, you know, and in PT school, like I wasn't sure like which path I wanted to go. I kind of enjoyed a little bit of everything. But once I did my rotation at Cincinnati Children's, I was like, okay, like I love every patient I have. I love coming to work every day. Like this is what brings me joy, gives me energy. And I was like, okay, like working with kids is what I want to do. And now like the thought of treating an adult, I'm like, I can't go back to doing that. Like I just enjoy working with this population so much. There's so much fun. Every day is a little bit different. You know, sometimes kids are having a bad day, a good day. And I think our job is just to kind of make sure they're having fun and enjoying kind of the healthcare field. They're not like scared of going to the doctor or scared of going to physical therapy. So just trying to have a positive impact on them there.
Right. I know you said you have a good relationship with some surgeons, but I guess, are there any sports facilities or teams that maybe you work specifically with? And how does that kind of impact your caseload and treatment?
Yeah. So my clinic in the West Valley of Phoenix, so I work in the Avondale area. So we're actually right next to a sports center. And the way they set up our clinic is we have huge windows. So pretty much anyone walking into the sports center, they know like, oh, if we get hurt, like we can just go to physical therapy there, which was genius by our management. But we also have really awesome sports doctors and orthopedic doctors at Phoenix Children. So they're mostly our like primary referral source. And then a big thing with kids too is their parents. So if you can treat one kid well, usually you can get a bunch of other kids on that team if someone has an injury, just from word of mouth. You know, I feel like moms are the best. You know, they're going to, if they liked you, they're going to give you a really rave review and they're going to send more people to you. So, you know, between like the parents of past patients, you know, people walking by, but also the biggest thing is our sports doctors and our orthopedic surgeons.
Right. Do you see your patients typically immediately after post-op, or really does it just depend on the surgeon and obviously the procedure that they probably went through? But
yeah, so kind of a little bit of both. So like you said, it depends on the surgeon and the type of surgery. We are also a very new program. So I'd say we're about 4 years old and we're growing pretty rapidly. So we're building these big relationships with our surgeons. So we've, with all of our ACL kids now, we're getting them in within a week, which is awesome because we know that early mobility is, you know, really key to getting that range of motion and pain down. There's other surgeons that sometimes we see them right away, you know, ankle surgeries or whatever. It just kind of depends on, you know, any restrictions that they have or, you know, kind of their relationship with us and them knowing what we do. But ideally with the ACL and knee kids, we're getting them in as soon as possible, depending on the type of surgery.
How do you work with both the child and their caregivers during treatment sessions?
So I think the evaluation is kind of where you set up your relationship with the child and the parent. So especially when I have students, I'm always explaining to them like, hey, in your evaluation, like you have to speak to the kid, but you also have to speak to the parent. So we're speaking at a kid-friendly level, but then if the parent, you know, needs more details or needs things talked about on a different level, we're catering to them too. So I think the best thing you can do is set up a good relationship with them at that initial evaluation. So, you know, I'm joking around with the kids, I'm bringing the parents into it. And that way we've set up that really good relationship and that positive rapport. And, you know, sometimes parents don't come back for treatment sessions. They might sit in the waiting room, but checking in with them after the appointment, like, hey, they did really great today. This is what they're going to work on going forward. Or, hey, like, this is what I want them to work on in sports this week. Or, you know, they're good. They pass their things. They can get off their crutches, you know, so they're not like, is my kid telling me the truth or not? Like, they trust me and the kid enough to know that we're going in the right direction. Sometimes we have parents that just drop their kids off, but maybe we communicate through email or we talk on the phone. So it's just making sure that we have that relationship to where I feel comfortable talking to them, they feel comfortable talking to me. And that way everyone's on the same page too. So it's not a he said, she said type of thing. But really just kind of that first day is probably the most important. You know, if you can get them to buy in there, then you're set for your entire plan of care.
Right. That's good advice. Could you describe the importance of return to sport protocols and helping a patient return to the sport or activity when they are ready?
So I think protocols in terms of like post-op care are important up to a certain point. Like every surgeon has their protocol. Everyone's a little bit different. So as a new grad, I felt like I relied on them a lot more versus now, you know, I've treated hundreds of ACLs. So I kind of feel confident veering away from it. But I think the biggest thing with protocols is your range of motion, weight bearing restrictions, anything like that. Like those are kind of the big important ones, especially to a surgeon. But knowing the type of surgery they had, knowing, you know, the risks, the contraindications, and then being able to kind of spread your wings from there to get your patient back, you know, as safely and as fast as possible is super important. But I think the bigger thing is understanding the sport. So like, I wasn't a gymnast, but I've treated a lot of gymnasts and I'm learning a ton about their sport. So I'm taking in all this information to be like, okay, you need to be able to do X, Y, and Z as a level 6 gymnast. How can I get you there? Or wrestling. I don't know much about wrestling, but I can talk to my patients and I can look things up and know, okay, you need to be able to do X, Y, and Z to be able to wrestle competitively. So I think just being open to learning about different sports and knowing the expectations from their coaches, from them, their parents, is probably the best way to get them safely back into their sport.
What continuing education or other opportunities have you used to help you specialize in this setting?
I think doing a residency, of course, was probably the biggest thing. It's a smaller community. It's a really tight-knit community. So once you can get in, you're in. It's just kind of getting in is the initial like barrier, I would say. I used CSM when I was a student, you know, to kind of network and create a relationship that eventually set me up with my CI at Cincinnati Children's, you know, someone that I had something in common with, and it would be a really good relationship. So I think always looking for opportunities at those big conferences is probably the way to like touch as many people as possible, whether it's the pediatrics conference, the sports conference, or a CSM, just so you can kind of, you know, a lot of people are there. Most children's hospitals are academic hospitals as well. So they send a lot of people there to present or to participate in other events while they're there.
How does having your OCS help you in this setting? Also, why not SCS or PCS?
So I'd say OCS and SCS are probably the most applicable to this setting. PCS is a little more like developmental pediatrics. I'm not sure that I know anyone quite in this setting with that, but I could be very wrong. But a lot of people with SCS and OCS. So I went the OCS route because I was at a children's hospital. You know, kids have to be active, whether, you know, they're on an organized sports team or not, they're still doing activity. So kind of every kid is an athlete in some way, shape, or form. So I felt like doing an OCS at a children's hospital was going to give me a lot of sports experience, but I wasn't necessarily interested in the on-field experience that an SCS gives you. So I didn't feel like doing the SCS was the most important route for me. There's a lot of SCS in this population, which is awesome. They just have that on-field component that's required. Whereas that OCS, let me see this entire patient population. You know, you have to get a certain number of like spine patients in your caseload during your residency, but there's plenty of athletes and kids with back pain to where we were able to, you know, meet those requirements. And then it was just a good way to get my foot in the door and really, you know, I learned a ton at Cincinnati Children's, have really good mentorship, and I've created lifelong mentors from that. So I would say, yes, you're learning a ton in that setting, but also probably the mentorships are the biggest thing you get from it and where they can send you afterwards.
What other roles do you have in the clinic besides patient care?
So I'm also a supervisor at my clinic. So I do 32 hours of treatment and 8 hours of administrative work. So in my administrative work, I'm working on, you know, scheduling people, setting up templates, making sure things are moving well in the clinic. I help with interviewing and hiring kind of our new applicants. Since we're a newer program, we're setting up like mentorship programs for our new employees, especially to learn in this population. I'm helping to grow our student program. So just a lot of kind of programmatic things right now as we continue to build and grow.
Could you talk a little bit more about the other certifications that you have?
Yeah, so I have my CSCS, Certified Strength Conditioning Coach certification, and I also have my USAW Level 1 Sports Performance Coach certification. So I got my CSCS in my second year of PT school. I felt like it was kind of a good time. We had, you know, less class time in the summer, so it was a good time for me to, you know, get the certification. So it goes over anatomy and physiology, but then it's also, you know, strength conditioning for athletes, kind of one of those good things to have on your resume. It also gives you, you know, that background knowledge that in the sports setting is nice to have, especially when it comes to like dosing and loading the athletes. And then I also, with my USAW certification, so that's more on Olympic lifting and teaching lifting mechanics, probably a big thing and a big push in not only like the youth sports PT realm, but in PT in general, is this idea of, you know, loading our athletes, loading our patients, you know, moving away from only doing passive modalities to really making people lift heavy weights and do so safely. Especially with kids, you know, there's this push for physical literacy. Can we have them move in different ways than they're not used to doing? Also, a lot of kids lift in the weight room. So having that background and knowing how to safely cue people, how to spot people safely, and move them back into weight training safely is super helpful to me. But also probably what I use the most is the exercise dosing. So volume, intensity, rest, you know, being able to cue RPE. And I do a lot of presentations too on loading the youth athlete safely. Talk to a lot of parents about how weightlifting is really safe for kids, because the first question I'll get is, well, it'll stunt their growth, or, oh, I've heard it's super unsafe. And I'm like, well, no, actually, like if they're supervised, it's super safe for them. And it's actually really good for them to do. And they can lift, you know, as young as the age of six. So that's probably one of my biggest like soapboxes that I get on. And I think both those certifications were really worth it. And I would get them again.
That's awesome. No, that's so cool. What advice would you give me and other students that are interested in working in your setting?
Kind of this niche community. Sometimes it's a little bit harder to get in, but if you can shadow in the setting, you know, sometimes working with kids all day, every day is challenging. So it's something you definitely have to want to do to love it. So if you can shadow in it, if you can do a rotation, that's probably the best way in, you know, reaching out to people at different children's hospital. You know, I feel like most people in this population want to help. We all feel super passionate about this population. So helping people, or, you know, giving them information any way we can, is kind of second nature to us. If you can go to a conference and, you know, talk to the speakers or try to network a little bit. I was super uncomfortable with networking as a student, and I just had to be like, you know, like be brave for a little bit and have those conversations, because people do truly want to help you. And then I would say just always be curious and open to learning. In this population, we don't learn a ton about it in school. So there's tons of growth plate injuries that we don't learn about, you know, tons of, you know, specific injuries just for the pediatric population, or how they respond to injuries, how you care for them, you know, how you cue them. There's so many different like nuances that go into treating this population, that the more you can learn and take in and be a sponge, the best you can do.
That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to meet with us today. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for listening today. We hope you learned as much as we did.
Make sure to follow us on social media. Links are located in the episode notes. And make sure to check back next month for our next episode.
Special thanks to Peyton Whiteside and Annabelle Hearn for making this podcast possible.
See you next month.